Together we're going to again look into the Word of God, and oh my, what a privilege it is to look into the Word of God. And again, as we first look at a chapter or look at a verse, we can kind of shake our head and say, now what is God teaching now in this chapter? What's so important about this? And yet, if we really begin to reflect upon it and follow the biblical rule of comparing Scripture with Scripture, we invariably find that there's just a great number of truths that flow out of anything that God has written, because as we're going to learn today, every word comes from the mouth of God. Now, during these last few studies, we've been looking at a few chapters, and like the last chapter, we read about the Rechabites. You know who the Rechabites were now? They were the enormous example of faithfulness to the Word of God. And the verse that keeps ringing in my ears when I think about the Rechabites is, he who endures to the end will be saved. Because what happens is all kinds of people are very convinced they're a child of God. They're going along fine, believing with all their heart that they're a child of God. But as God sends test after test into their lives, this one falls away and that one falls away. They do not endure to the end. In other words, they are trusting in something that they've already been taught, and they can't go beyond that. They just absolutely have put their trust in something that they've already accepted. And yet, if we are a child of God, we have to be wide open to the Word of God right to the end. And particularly in this day, when God is, like we've talked about it before, almost like he's writing a new Bible. No, he's not writing a new Bible. The words are all exactly the same as they were 2,000 years ago. There's not one change in one word anywhere in the Bible. And yet the Bible is not understandable until God opens our spiritual eyes. In other words, it cannot be read like any book. Well, if I just keep reading that book and reading that book, eventually I'm going to understand. No, that cannot be true of the Bible, because it is a spiritual book. It's a supernatural book. It requires an intimate identification with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit himself as we read that book. And unless he is opening our eyes to truth, we can be convinced we have the truth, and yet we don't have the truth. And yet, on the other hand, the wonderful thing is that when we do finally come to truth, because God has opened our spiritual eyes, then we rejoice as we see the harmony, as we see the cohesiveness, as we see the unity of the whole Bible, how everything begins to fit together more and more. But now we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 36. And let's read the first 7 verses of Jeremiah 36, and then we're going to see what God might teach us through this. It came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Let me say this, that the 4th year of Jehoiakim was the year 604 BC. It was It would be 17 years before they were destroyed by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. And insofar as looking at them in the context of right at this point of the Great Tribulation, they were about 4 years into the period of their tribulation. But now let me just read these 7 verses, and then we'll begin to look at them. Came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all evil, which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Jehovah, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of Jehovah. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord, are the words of Jehovah, in the ears of the people in the Jehovah's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplications before Jehovah and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that Jehovah hath pronounced against the people. Now, in this statement, God is saying something so absolutely profound and important that we just can't underscore it enough. God is showing in a very distinct, practical, positive way that we cannot misunderstand exactly where the Bible has come from. Now let's go for a moment back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. And there we read, this is the New Testament statement. There are two statements particularly that we want to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, where we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice the word is italicized, and so there are those who are trying to avoid the authority of the Bible and simply write and say all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. Implying that maybe all scripture is not. Now literally, in the Greek language, this verse is written this way. All scripture God breathed. All scripture God breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and so on. In other words, this is not saying that some of the scriptures is God-breathed or not. This is just a big headline. This is a declaration. All scripture God-breathed. That's the whole Bible. Everything in the Bible is God-breathed. And when we read that, we have to say, well, that's as plain as day. Then doesn't it mean that every thing in the Bible is from is God somehow has moved that individual write that? In fact, now go to 2 Peter chapter 1, where we find a further statement that is in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. And there we read in verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it has not come because of what is in somebody's mind. Some prophet had an idea and he wrote it down. It is not of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not by, in old time, by the will of man. That has to do with private, you know, my mind. It's not, it did not come out of the mind of an individual. It came out from God. That prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So again, we see that same emphasis that it is God breathed. It is God the Holy Spirit who has given it. But you see, when we work with these New Testament verses, we think we have some latitude. We think, well, yes, God kind of gave them the theme, or God gave them task of writing to the Jews, and he kind of guided them, but then they kind of put their own words into it and fit it all together. And so we have the Bible. The fact is, of course, in fact, in 1 Peter, God says something very interesting in 1 Peter about this in verse 10. Now this is 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, where God is talking about these Old Testament prophets who are writing the Bible, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace unto you, that should come unto you. In other words, he's talking here about these who have received the God-breathed the message, whom God the Holy Spirit is working in. They have prophesied. Did they know what they were saying? Did they know what they were saying? Look what happens. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They have really wrote down those words, and then they searched them and inquired and prayed for wisdom. And yet, as they did so, we find that searching what? I'm reading verse 11. Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. In other words, they tried to understand, what are we saying? What are we writing down? God, the Holy Spirit is moving them to write. What are we writing down? And they could not understand. They could not understand. They were writing it down so that unto us who came along later, beginning with the New Testament church and going all the way to our present day, we can begin to understand as God opens our eyes. And indicating again that the prophets who were being given the message, they wrote words down. They wrote words down, and they did not know how that fit together. It always boggles my mind when I read about some theologian saying, you know, well, in order to understand the Bible, you got to remember what the situation is in which that particular passage was being written. What did it mean to the people of that day? What did it mean to the people of that day? Well, you can read passage after passage in the Old Testament, and you can be absolutely certain that it didn't mean anything to them. They didn't understand at all when it was talking about something about the church age. Like, for example, there would be no joy in harvest. They didn't, in Isaiah 9, they wouldn't have the foggiest notion of what that phrase was. But God gave it to them. But now comes the book of Jeremiah. And I have to admit that I've tried to be a fairly careful student of the Bible, and I've known preachers, and I've listened to them very carefully, and I have never, never heard a sermon preached on Jeremiah 36, which just lays it right out. Notice the language that it says here in verse 4, then Jeremiah, this is Jeremiah 36, verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, he must have been the secretary to Jeremiah, and Baruch wrote, from the mouth of Jeremiah, all the words of Jehovah, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. All the words. And these are all the words. Notice it says in verse 2, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations, and you'll find references to Israel and Judah and all the nations all through the writings of the book of Jeremiah, and again, against all the nations, from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And if we go to Jeremiah chapter 1, we find there that Jeremiah began to be a prophet of the Lord in the 13th year of Josiah, who was the king. So at the time this chapter 36 is being written, already he had been prophesying for 22 years. 22 years was the earlier was the 13th year of Josiah, every word that God has given him now is in this roll of the book. All right, so now we have here, when we match this with our verses in 2 Timothy and in 1 Peter, we find total agreement that this is the way God has given the Bible. But here is the first gigantic problem. This is the root problem of why people do not obey the command to come out of the churches, why they don't understand the timeline of history or don't want to understand the timeline of history, why they have no knowledge of really what God's judgment plan is. It all starts with an attitude toward the Bible. You will never begin to get understanding of the Bible till we have a very humble, intense attitude that this is the Word of God. In the original languages, it is the Word of God. And I'm not familiar with it, and of course, I haven't read a whole lot of theological books, but I've read a number of them in my lifetime, and I've been very concerned about this matter. And invariably, you will find that the writers do not understand the principle that every word in the original languages came from the mouth of God. And the moment you have any less of an attitude toward that idea than that it is absolutely true, you will not receive truth from the Bible. The moment that you think, for example, that maybe a number, there's got a scribal error of some kind, and when in copying it so that the original language or the earliest copy of the original language that we have available today is in error, you're dead in the water. You've lost your trust in the whole Bible altogether. The moment you say, well, Luke wrote this book, he must have had a very good understanding of what was going on in order to write this book, you've lost it. You've lost it. You've lost the importance of really what the Word of God. When you think of it, for example, how in the world could Moses have written about a conversation between God and Cain, back there in before Cain killed Abel. How could he write that? How could he? Could God say, you know, I want to tell you a story, and then you rewrite it in your own language and put it in the Bible? No. God had to give him word by word. How could Moses write, for example, that on the first day God said, let there be light, and on the second day, let there be whatever, and describe in enormous detail the creation, or talk about God's conversation with Noah in connection with the flood? How could he write that? Where would he get that from? And if Moses had to receive every word, not just in his own language, or now it's true that God wrote the Bible in a very complex way, so that it's easy to get the idea, well, this was written because of the personality of Jeremiah, he wrote this way, and the personality of Ezekiel was something else, and he wrote that way. You know, we all have our own style of writing, and we can say that is the reason for that some sentence structures are different. I don't buy that at all. I think that God very, very carefully wrote each verse and each chapter so that it sounds different from the style of somebody else, just so that we would be tested. Now, did this come from the mind of a man, or did this come from God? And I've been guilty of this as much as anybody else in saying, you know, God works through the personality of an individual. The more I read the Bible and the more I see how complex it is and how carefully God has hidden truth within it, now only revealing it, I realize, no, God did this purposefully in order to give all kinds of tests. Are you going to remember now? Is this the Word of God? Or are you going to take the bait and think that maybe this is because this writer just wrote in a slightly different fashion, but he put it into his own words, what God was telling him? No, every word came from the mouth of God.
It looks like we're going to have to say goodbye for this study. Our time has come to an end, but the Lord willing, we'll be back together again in our next study, and we'll see where the Lord will take us in that.